Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. For those of you who are watching, welcome to a special edition of Let's Humanize the Workplace, where we focus on Go to Thrive. And hi, my name is Vivian Acqua, and I'm certified diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant, trainer, coach, and I support companies with their inclusive strategies as well, but also support them with team building, team engagement, inclusion within the workplace, using innovative tools like the Amplify DEI team cards, but also using virtual reality to provide a transformative training when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm not doing this work alone. Luckily, I'm here today with my good friend, Mary J. Roy, and I'm passing it on to her.
Hi. Hi. Hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm Mary Jane Roy. My company is Creating Waves, as you can see. And I've been in the areas of thriving workspaces for now almost 15 years. And areas that I really focus on are stress, hardiness, resilience in the workplace, emotional agility. And in the last few years, together collaborating with Vivian and her colleagues, also in the DEI space, with a special focus for me on intergenerational workplaces and ageism in the workplace. So that's me in a nutshell.
And what brings us here today is, a while ago, I saw a shocking fact that was shared on LinkedIn, and I'm going to bring it up so that you can also see why I'm shocked, right? Or why we are shocked. So this is the current state of leadership development, whereas in 2023, the budgets were much higher, but in 2024, the budgets are really, I don't know if you can call this a budget, because this is basically change for kids, right? So we sometimes have WhatsApp conversations where we share like, have you seen this or did you see this? And then eventually this conversation has to leave the WhatsApp because it has to become bigger than the WhatsApp. And that's why we decided to have a conversation about the hidden cost, the decline of leadership budget, and how this can impact the organizational success. So as you can see, in 2023, the budgets were $1,250 per manager, right? And this year it's like almost $316 per manager, per leader. And I'm just like, how are companies empowering leaders with that minimized budget?
They're not.
What's your take on this when you saw this?
Well, just what I shared, Vivian. They're not empowering. Mm-hmm. And if this is leadership, then what is the per employee, per team members' budgets? I was shocked, and yet I wasn't shocked. It just validated what I felt as an external trainer in the corporate world, that something has been going on since last year, the uncertainty has played a role, I suppose, the market uncertainty.
And also politics, the wars have played a role in budgets, and company are laying off people at the moment right now, or it started end of last year around this time where companies were laying off people, and it hasn't stopped. Even it seems like the trend is even getting worse. Right now, companies are demanding, or leaders are demanding people to go back to the workplace full-time instead of remote, right? So all these things are impacting the organization, being able to reach the goals, but also the team goals are not being met. And if we are not empowering leaders, then we're basically creating a foundation for not
disengagement, discontentment, absenteeism, quiet quitting, having employees checking out mentally, emotionally,
I wanna show a stat. This is the stat of last year. Next time we'll make sure to update it for this year. But just as a reminder, what's happening in the workplace right now and in the world right now? people need to feel engaged. People need to feel like they belong. And if they don't belong, then instead of getting, you know, more the majority being able to share that they are thriving in the workplace, these are the facts that are being shared right now, that you only have 23% of the people being engaged, going the extra mile, and connecting it with high performance. So therefore, the rest is not performing high, are only doing the necessary things, or even are loud quitting or cry quitting. This is not the way that you want to lead your team. This is not the way that you want to win within your team, right? And then in Europe, it's much more worse.
Yeah. It's startling, the European numbers. And we don't have the U.S. numbers up here, but they are somewhat better than global, if that's to be believed. I somehow question that, but the numbers are speaking out here, and this 72% quiet quitting is an enormous cost to organizations. And one of the ways that you can engage people is to help them continue to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. That's one of the key factors for engagement. So,
it's also about the book, the people that we interviewed, the book from, I think it's Giuliani, right?
Yep.
Help them grow or watch them go.
Yep, exactly. Third edition is just out as of this week.
Yeah. Help them publish the third edition.
Yeah.
Because if you don't invest in people, their professional development, or remind them that they also need to invest in their professional development, right? Because oftentimes I come to companies where they have budgets, but nobody's using them, or nobody knows that they have a certain amount of budget that they can spend for coaching, for training, for personal development. That I know that majority of the companies, they do have a fixed, let's say a fixed portfolio regarding training. But you can always ask your manager, like, if there is a training that's not part of the fixed portfolio, but you believe that this training would be a value for the work that you do, and also a value for the company, a value for the line of work, and a value for the team, you can always convince your manager and pitch, like, this is the value that I see. This is the investment, instead of bringing it as a cost, because it is about the company investing in your growth, so that you can also invest your time and energy to innovate, to create, to do fun things that are engaging, that can expand your learning and development as well.
Yeah, it's about creating a business case for it. Yeah. What's the benefit to the company, to the organization, to have you invested in this in that particular training? But you're right. I think a lot of times it's just it's not known, and it's not encouraged where it should be. Definitely forefront in a leader's mind, in a manager's mind, that their team members are getting this kind of learning and growth on an ongoing basis. So there should be more attention. But of course, they need the budgets to do it. It goes back to the first slide.
I want to share a comment that is made. It's shared here as a LinkedIn user, but I just watched in the live stream. Sabina, thank you for sharing your comments. And she says, like, those figures are shocking. Yeah, they are shocking, right? So I'm going to go back to the first slide regarding the budgets. And then she also has another question or a comment that she's making, like, in Holland, this is again Sabine Hess, in Holland, I taught organizations invest in the growth and development of their people. And there is attention for happiness at work, but not always all the time as well. Do you know the numbers of the Netherlands? No, unfortunately not yet, but I do know last year, where I think I shared an article about that. I'm going to look it up. There was a statement from the Society of the Employers that a lot of budgets were not used. That's something that I'm going to look out and find out. In the meantime, I'm going to hand it over to Mary Jane so that I can do that research in the meantime, because I did share something about it that I find it shocking. I think it was 50 to 60 or 70% of the learning and development budgets that were untouched. And I understand that sometimes a company wants to save money, but in the end of time, you should be sad if people are not touching the learning and development budget, because it's a decline of your company, your team, the individual for growing.
It's also showing, I think, Vivian, it's also showing that there's a level of disengagement in the organization. And Sabina, hi. And no, I don't know the numbers specifically for the Netherlands. They might have been broken down in the 2024 report, but Gallup workplace report, we could have a look at that and see if there's something. It has to be a real concern to organizations, and especially when we talk about the quiet quitters, and it's a huge percentage. And of course, it's on a spectrum. Some are totally disengaged, actively disengaged. That percentage is less. But if you just have somebody sitting on the chair, doing the minimum amount of work in order to collect a paycheck. And the other thing is, with the downturn in the job market, which is there now, people are not quitting. They are not physically quitting their jobs because it's a lot harder to find work than it was last year, the years before, the past few years. So you've got a lot of demotivated people in your organization who look like they might be doing their work, but are just really getting by with the bare minimum that they can. And, you know, it could be that part of that is to look for a better work-life balance or integration, as I prefer to call it. But I don't think that's the majority. The majority just they're not caring. And if you don't care to invest in their...
They will also not care. They will also not care, right? So I found the number. 1.5 billion of the L&D budget was not used in 2023.
And this is these are Dutch figures?
This is the Netherlands. This is the Netherlands. So AVVN is the organization that is there to support organizations, the employers. And this is the amount that was not used last year, which is a shame. They called the companies out as well. I'm seeing a lot of comments, so let me go back. And Cam, that's definitely sad. That's definitely sad. And also, I think it's Sabina as well. Apparently, there's more talk about enthusiasm and engagement than actual work being done to promote them. That's a good one. You can see that many organizations struggle due to lack of enthusiasm and engagement. Yeah, many organizations have a challenging time to attract. And the most important one also is retain. Because what's happening right now is the moment that they attract somebody, they have to be very lucky if that person stays longer than 1 year. At the moment right now. So that's happening.
Well, I'm not sure if that's going to hold, Vivian, because the latest that I read, you know, is this downturn in the job market. So it might very well be that you're going to be stuck with them for a lot longer than the one.
So then the companies will be dealing with maybe more quiet quitters, more loud quitters, and maybe more quiet quitting, because if you want to keep your job and you want to, you know, maintain and in the meantime look for something else, that's when presenteeism happens, right? They are only going to do the minimum of what they need to do to survive. And in the meantime, it's not only killing their engagement, but it's also deadly for the team. It's also deadly for other departments as well. So just wanted to make sure.
And just think too, I mean, if you're really not happy at work, how that affects your well-being, your stress levels. So absenteeism, yeah. There's just so many ramifications. Have you got the slide handy with the cost to organizations?
Yeah. I do have the slide for the cost for the organization, but I just wanted to finish it with, when you talked about happiness, it immediately made me think about the quote, happy cows give more milk. And this, I know it's a weird quote, but it's a quote that is well known in definitely internationally, where when people are happy, they will go the extra mile. They are okay with working over, not every time, right? They're okay with supporting, being a supportive team member, and being that creative person as well. So I'm going to the win for the organization. So this is the win for the organization, where businesses benefit from encouraging and enabling people when it comes to skills training, and employees who strongly agree that their organization encourages them to learn new skills are 8.4 more likely and strongly agree that there is a path for them to grow. 47% will less likely be searching for a new job or a new role, right? Mm-hmm. And 4.2% are times more likely to be engaged with their work.
Yeah. So the opposite is, this is what it's costing you not to implement an effective L&D strategy within the organization.
Exactly. I want to bring
that
up
strategy is education of to what the budgets are, you know.
I want to also bring up a comment from Enkem, who's saying that it's also sad to see that there is a trend that L&D teams are dissolving when reorganization is happening. And that's where a lot of, let's say, a lot of professional development budget lays. And I want to make sure that for your company, your organization, your team, your leader to be able to grow, there needs to be a budget. You need to invest in people so that they can invest their energy and their time and their knowledge within the company to bring it to the next level.
And also to invest in more innovative and creative ways of educating.
Yeah. You know, we all know what ChatGPT did, right? It demolished a lot of jobs. But it also created new opportunities.
I was just going to say, So I hate to use it as a scapegoat, it's created more opportunities than it's dissolved.
True. And also, I see the comments have been sharing. I think a lot of people lack purpose. Yes, they do have their purpose, but it's not aligned with the company where they are working for, or it's not aligned with how they can connect their purpose with the place that they are working, right? So that's also a missed opportunity as well. Shall I go to the next slide?
Sure.
You want to do this one?
Well, I think, it speaks. So 60%, these are, again, benefits to the organization by providing an investment, making an investment in your people. 60% doing their jobs more effectively. 51%, they want to learn and grow. Give them that opportunity. All right. I'm not sure what the 5% transition. Do they want to learn new skills? Vivian, do you know the, because I don't know the backup for this one. Transition out of the career path.
Less people are not taking a new role or not taking a new job, right? When they have the opportunity to develop their skills within the company.
Yeah.
And also, you have to know that there are different ways of growing. You can grow vertically, but you can also grow horizontally, right?
Exactly. That's actually the second book that published by Julie Winkle Gilliano, we mentioned earlier, about lateral moves. I can't think of the title of it. We do like you, Julie. but again, it's the 60%.
Yeah, but also there's a lot of benefit from the 51%, right? Being able to learn and grow. There is something that's happening internally when you have the space and the time and the budget to pursue something that is helpful for your professional development, which indirectly also supports your personal development as well, right?
Yeah.
So I want to bring in a comment as well. So Sabine and Kim says, Sabine has, I see that with the buzz word psychological safety, exactly, without even understanding the depth of the training and self-awareness that's needed about that. Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation about psychological safety.
Yeah, for sure.
Want to bring in, sorry.
I was just going to say, it's a thought that popped into my head, but I have nothing to back it up. But just putting it out there, could it be that some employees are not pursuing learning and growth because they don't feel psychologically safe to ask for it? I don't know whether there's a connection there or not.
And that's why I'm putting the emphasis on, it's good that companies have the budget, but you also saw the comment that I shared about AWVN, about budget, a lot the of the budget being unused, where it's not only upon the individual to ask and seek budget. I also believe there is an opportunity there for leaders as well. But I also believe that there's an opportunity from the people that are responsible for internal communication to make sure that you over-communicate. Because oftentimes these stats or the access is hidden somewhere. Maybe that person that worked 5 years, that has worked for the company for 5 years, knows where to find it. But somebody who's just started or maybe needs a refresher, like, I need to learn how I can apply for coaching. Coaching is, for instance, not only something that should be provided for management. I strongly believe that there should be a budget available so that employees, staff members, team members have access to coaching where they can work on their professional development as well. And this is a mystery. This is a secret for so many people, because people think that coaching is only predominantly for executive and for leadership. No, I'm calling that BS. Calling it out now. Ask your company at the moment, right now, there are budgets being decided for next year. And if they haven't, ask them. Ask, how much can I invest for professional development? How much am I allowed to invest for professional development? If there is no budget, negotiate a budget. The budget should be negotiated.
If there is a budget, it should be allowed that you could invest it yourself in coaching. If it's if it's going to help you grow in your professional role, then yes, they need to thanks Nikim, you agree. you agree wholeheartedly. I can see that.
Let's look at the stat. Because we have been talking about it a while. Let's look at the stat. So most U.S. employees need more opportunities to learn and grow. So the funny thing is that the budgets are declining. And whilst I'm fully aware that we are showing stats of the U.S., you can, you know, compare it with other countries, right? What do people want? What do people need? And if you look at the way things are being shared in the U.S., then you might also think about, what do our people need here? Because there is a need, there is a much higher need for people to learn and grow at work.
Yeah. And as you said, you know, we could probably extrapolate this data into the European or Dutch organizations as well. But okay, in the U.S., only 32% strongly agree that they've had this opportunity. So, this is not, it's been worse, but it's been better as well. But still, why aren't 100% of employees strongly agreeing that they've had the opportunity to grow? That's the question I want to throw out there.
You know? And also... Also, it makes me think about the quote from Richard Branson. So Richard Branson is the guy who is behind Virgin Records, but also Virgin, how do you say, Virgin Travel Journeys, the airplane. And he talks about train people well enough so that they can leave. Treat them well enough so that they don't want to.
It's a great quote. Yeah.
Because oftentimes people think that when you provide the budget or the opportunity for people to grow, that they leave. And I'm just like, but why wouldn't you allow them to grow so that they can leave whenever they want to? But at least they have given the company the amount of time they have invested in the company. The company has invested in them as well. You should also provide them space to grow and to expand. Even better so, some companies even have job coaches where they help other people to reach out to their new work, right? Why should we have this anaconda mindset that once people are in, they are locked in forever? It's not a marriage anymore.
Or the opposite, Vivian, which I think also happens. Why should I invest in my employees when it's a revolving door? But then you've really got, if this is what's happening in your organization, if it's a revolving door, organization, you've got serious problems you know, in terms of engagement, and it's not just the L&D budget that you need to be looking at.
Well-being
the quality
budget
of your leaders, and the quality of
DEI
your leaders.
DEI budget. Not too much.
yes to all of that.
So going over to the next slide, so why upskilling, reskilling, I've seen so many advantages of people leveling up their skill set only because it's not only a win for the company, it's a win for themselves, right? So I'm going to read it out loud. 75% is more likely to strongly agree that their organization encouraged them to learn a new skills. That's what happens when you invest in people and let them know, over communicate that they have the opportunity to learn something new. But also those who are learning new skills, 56% is sharing they are more likely to strongly agree that they are motivated to learn new things. Who doesn't want to learn? I do. I want to learn.
And there's, I don't ever want to stop learning. You know?
Exactly.
I took a hiatus in my 40s and 30s and 40s, but I definitely, since my 50s, I'm definitely a big proponent of lifelong learning. Vivian, it also, the one word that jumps out at me, and this is something that I think, and maybe we can even finish on this, but recognition. About recognition, being recognized, appreciation is, I think, the most underused motivator in organizations. And God knows, I don't know why. I don't know why it's so difficult for managers, for leaders to show appreciation and recognize when someone goes the extra mile. Go ahead now.
I agree. But I also want to apply something. It takes two to tango, right? So a leader is a role model. I do agree upon that, that when a leader shows, it sets the example for other people, how they can lead as well, or how they can lead themselves as well. However, we have to walk away from that mindset, like, because my leader isn't doing it, then I'm not
doing it. Yeah.
I have that conversation with my son, Orlando, who just turned 11, like, Papa is doing it. And I'm just like, so because your dad is doing it doesn't mean that it's okay to do that. Or your dad is not doing it, so that doesn't mean that it's okay to not do that, right? So I have this conversation with my 11-year-old where I believe that we should stop pointing the fingers to only leaders, because we can then also start pointing the fingers to ourselves, because we as individual, every person that works in a company or works for themselves is a self leader. And I see every person as a leader as well. But sometimes we get confused, like we don't have the title, so we don't see ourselves as a leader. So I want us to apply self-leadership. And if you feel like your manager or your leader is not stepping up or doing something, think about the following question. How can I support them in what you are seeking?
Or support my colleagues.
Yeah, my other exactly. colleagues,
you know, which exactly. might in turn create the ripple effect that will gradually exactly. engage their leaders into doing the same. And there are some statistics out there on the benefit of collegial appreciation. Mm. It's also very large. It doesn't have to come from the top down, but and I know I've seen in organizations where employees say, "I just love my colleagues. That's why I don't want to leave." You know, so there is that element for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I agree, Vivian.
But definitely,
I still want to shake a finger at leaders and managers.
No, I get that. It is
underused. Yeah.
No, I get that, but I also understand from a leadership perspective that there's a lot, the weight on the shoulders of leaders at the moment right now, especially leading after Corona, leading with turnover, leading with you have to be able to succeed and reach your business goals beyond, you know, to infinity and beyond. There is this level of expectation towards leaders, and I want to lighten the load a little bit, just a little bit, so that we recognize that they are also human.
Exactly.
They need to delegate. The more that you embrace inclusive leadership skills, the more that you can win and succeed. But I want to bring it back, though, to why we started having this conversation, and that is the hidden costs, how declining leadership budgets is impacting organization success. I want to see the budgets go up, but being better than what it was in 2023, because with this amount, no companies will be able to succeed. No company will be able to succeed.
It's not sustainable. No. It's definitely not sustainable. And you know, Gallup has, of course, a lot of data on the mm-hmm. role of managers in terms of a company's success. So you need to be investing in your managers, but also in your general employees as well. So thanks for bringing that back full circle.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining this conversation. And if you're watching the replay, let me know or let us know what your thoughts are on this topic. Maybe there's a topic that you want us to bring up, right? We are always in searching for new topics to have a conversation about. So definitely open for some suggestions. Know that somewhere at the end of the month, next month, I will be hosting a special conversation about perimenopause, which is a topic that should be addressed to everybody, right? So it's not only a women problem, right? It's a workplace challenge.
Absolutely.
And I want to address that as well. So thank you.
Yeah. And it's a really important one. We're going to give that link when you have your link set up. Make sure that we send it to out to our networks.
Thank you. Until next time.
Thanks, Vivian. Bye.
Thank you, Mary Jane. Bye.